A very good Saturday morning. You're very welcome along to the weekend edition here in Highland Radio with me, Greg Hughes. Coming up on today's programme, the Heritage Streets Alive events take place in Letterkenny this morning. One of the organisers joins us to tell us what you can expect if you go along. Alex O'Shea, he's looking to run the length of Ireland in under 4 days. He also wants to enter the Guinness World Book of Records. Rory Friel of In Their Thousands is in studio to tell us what's going on. Also to perform live, we chat to an expert to ask, are we too reliant now on antibiotics? Etain, a singer-songwriter from Leitrim's in studio to perform live for us. And we chat to a Donegal farmer who's looking to win the Donegal FBD Young Farmer of the Year competition. This and loads more besides. Text 086 77 00555. Call Yvonne 074 91 25000 or tweet using the hashtag Weekend Edition. So that's what you can expect between now and 12. And as I say, there's plenty more on the show as well. So hopefully you can stay in or stay listening to us. Now, don't forget your calls, comments and requests. Always welcome to the programme. Just to recap that text number for you again, 086 77 00555. If you're celebrating or someone you know is celebrating a birthday, wedding, etc., you can call us to 074 91 25000. Right, first up, we're going to look and see what's on the front of the newspapers this morning. Starting with the Irish Independent, Gardaí rely on locals to catch burglars. Gardaí had to rely on the help of John O'Donoghue's neighbours to chase down a burglary gang after the victim of a break-in collapsed and died outside his home. A local man performed a citizen's arrest on one of the burglars who ransacked the 62-year-old's home in the Limerick town of Tumuline near Doon on Thursday. The result of a post-mortem last night showed that Mr. O'Donoghue suffered a massive heart attack after returning home to find raiders in his house. The Irish Daily Mail. So is this the price of Garda cutbacks, is the question. Outrage over death of Bachelor 62 in town that fought in vain to keep its Garda station. That's their angle on that story. The Irish Sun. Thugs left my brother to die. Again, this is the front page story. Thugs who burgled the home of John O'Donoghue ran off as he lay dying on the ground. Alan Kelly, he was the subject of a hoax yesterday, a hoax bomb alert or a hoax chemical. There was a package sent to his office which they thought had a chemical in it. Well, Environment Minister Alan Kelly has hit out at the thugs who sent a poison hoax to his constituency office. The bomb squad was called yesterday after a suspicious package containing white powder was sent to his Tipperary HQ. It transpired that it was nothing harmful. Irish Times points out that Van Morrison is 70 years of age and is quoted as saying, being famous is not great for the creative process, not for me anyway. So if you're a fan of Van Morrison, we might play a bit of Van later on if he's 70 today. HSE investigates Lloyd's pharmacy fees. This is off the back of an RTE investigation, I understand. The HSE is investigating the way Lloyd's, the largest pharmacy chain in Ireland, has boosted its dispensing fee incomes by claiming multiple payments from the state for prescriptions collected on the same day by medical card holders. I think that what's happening there is rather than getting a one-off payment for a prescription, you can, if you have medicine in bulk, they spread it out for you. So you'd, rather than collecting it in the one day, you collect it over a period of time. But they're claiming off the state the same fee for multiple claims on the same medicine as opposed to the one-off fee, if that makes sense. Water bomb threat is the front of the Irish Daily Star. Minister Kelly targeted ahead of today's protests. So if you want more on that, it's inside the Irish Daily Star. And the Irish Daily Mirror, Shane breaks pelvis in fall. They've gone for a story about Pogues legend, Shane McGowan. He was rushed to hospital after breaking his pelvis while doing a complicated dance move. That's in inverted commas. The Hellraiser, as he's described, was taken to A&E after falling on Wednesday. What age would you say Shane McGowan is? He's quoted in the paper as being 57 years of age. Okay, that's the front of the papers. Maybe we'll dip inside a little later on. Just a request at the moment for Paddy McKelvey. He's celebrating his birthday on the 31st of August. Lots of love coming in to you from all your family in Fintown. 086 77 00555 is the text line, or you can call us 074 91 25000. Now, good morning, Don and Harvey. How are you?
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Nice to chat to you again. How are you keeping?
I'm keeping well, Greg. I'm
excellent.
Keeping well.
And I'm hanging in there myself, in case you're wondering.
No,
whole problem at all.
You're the Cathedral Quarter Secretary, and Heritage Streets Alive events, they run this morning from 11 o'clock until this afternoon at 4:30 p.m. in Letterkenny's Church Lane. Give us an idea of what people can expect, Donan.
Well, Greg, I don't know if you can hear there in the background. We got some fiddle players playing, and we're going to be, our event now on the Church Lane is taking place from 11 o'clock to half 12. So we got some music, and we're going to have a reenactment, a short play about an experience of the Hiren Fair, because one of the things that the Church Lane is associated with, that the children used to walk in from West Donegal and would have stayed in the cottages in and around the Church Lane area. Before then, they would have been hired out then, I suppose, the following day at the Rabble Days and on in the Market Square and in Spears Lane. So we're just going to have a wee short poignant play about that there. But it's so hopefully people will come up and take a look at it as well. But there's another event that we're hoping to be having is that Church Lane's most famous resident would be Seamus Hoare, who's a voted Donegal Keeper of the Millennium. And he'll be unveiling a mural of himself that was painted by the artist Bernie Wilson.
Now, tell us, for those who aren't aware of this whole concept, this whole plan to regenerate the Cathedral Quarter.
The plan is the Cathedral Quarter plan is it's basically like the establishment of an historic quarter in the heart of Letterkenny. And within the area around the Cathedral and Gellert's Hotel and the Market Square and as up as far as Century Hill, that you have many historic buildings in that quarter, in this area. And they themselves tell their own story. But more importantly, and from that there as well, is that you have a serious events associated with Irish history. So you would have had the likes of De Valera and Michael Davitt making speeches in the Market Square, and then up by Century Hill with during the penal times it was the Mass Rock, or the lookout post for the Mass Rock, and then later on then the volunteers would have drilled there, and then the volunteers would have drilled there, and then also then the. There was rallies against conscription. So it's just making people aware of our rich history, and then really locals and tourists alike.
And it is a rich history. So what do people do today? Call down?
Out and enjoy the atmosphere, because what it is that we're given a vision of what the Church Lane could become in 5 years' time. And so this idea that it could, we restore the buildings and have a little craft village, it could be a great atmosphere here created all year round. That's and it's just a glimpse of what the future could become, anyway.
What would require, or what is required, for to make this happen? I mean, with the best will in the world, it needs the intervention, the support of agencies, doesn't it?
Exactly. But we came to the attitude that that doesn't stop us. That we do what we put out the suggestions. And we do what we can, and then we hope then that others will follow. And by working together, we're sure that this can become a reality.
Well, fair play to you. As I say, things are kicking off. It's not even starting till 11 o'clock, but we already have the fiddlers out, so...
Yeah. And as well, just as I mentioned, it's not only happening here on Church Lane, it's also happening in Chamberlain Street and in Derry, and it's a cross-border, cross-community event as well. And that, and Fountain Street, Fountain Street starts from half two to half three, and then on Chamberlain Street from half three to half four. So if anybody would like in Derry would like to call down to those two streets, we greatly appreciate it as well. And then hopefully maybe some people from Letterkenny would come out. And the concept of the historic streets alive comes from.
What did Mary say to you there? What?
Mary Kerrigan.
What did you say? Come on.
Sorry, the concept of this historic streets live is from Mary Kerrigan,
right.
A Derry-based architect.
All right, okay. You're very welcome back to the weekend edition here on Highland Radio. Alex O'Shea, can you hear me now?
I can, yeah, thanks.
Very good, very good. Nice to speak to you. So, Alex, you are looking to run from Mallin to Mizzenhead, and you've set yourself a really tight target, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm going to attempt to challenge the world record, the current world record of 3 days, 15 hours and 36 minutes.
In terms of pace and how long you have to run in a day, etc., what would be involved to match or beat that record?
I suppose, I'm not an experienced ultra runner, so mm-hmm. I'm kind of looking at setting a target of about 100 miles a day, which will build in a small bit of leeway in case we go wrong anywhere and have to correct, or in case something happens, have to have some kind of a safety factor built in.
Now, a lot of people will have run the half marathon or full marathon here in Letterkenny and Donegal recently, and we kind of would have an idea of what preparation is required for something like that. How do you prepare yourself physically for this type of a challenge?
I suppose when I started out, I started researching it an awful lot and looking at people that had done it before. And then I just came to the conclusion, right, I just have to go outside the door and do an awful lot of running. And
as simple as that.
Running. Yeah, you get to, I think it goes through cycles. You start off overthinking things and then you decide, okay, you just have to train. And towards the end now, you start going back to the logistics again. But I did kind of days where I might have done a Saturday where I got up, ran a marathon, had food already prepared, so I came in the door, ate kind of a lunch-sized meal, had half an hour off, and went back out then maybe 20 miles, back in, food again, back out at 15 miles. So, but that was later on in my training. I had to build up to doing things like that.
And when people talk about the wall on a sort of like a fixed distance, I mean, how does that apply when you are running so much? Or if it applies, of course.
Yeah, I think I'm very much going into the unknown. I only ran my first marathon last year. And so I've done two ultra distances events trying to prepare myself some way towards this. But I suppose it's mentally, you get tired and your mind will wander and you'll get mentally drained and your body will fatigue. So I think that's what the wall is. So it's a case of looking at this event. It's really the tortoise and the hare scenario. Oh. You know, you run a shorter race, you try to run really quick for as long as you can. This race is really long, so you try to run slow for a really long time.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have to be fast enough to challenge the record. So it's a real balancing act between pace, food, endurance, sleep deprivation. There's so many other elements involved.
Now, you're looking to raise money for charity. What is the charity?
The charity is the Irish Guide Dogs for the Blind.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone wants to donate, they can do so by texting the word WOOF, W-O-O-F, to 50300. Or they can follow me on Challenge Alex on Facebook and get further information.
Now, the Guinness Book of World Records attempt, I mean, obviously you're setting a challenge to yourself as it is. You're hoping to raise loads of money for a fantastic charity. But where did the idea to try and challenge the record come from?
I suppose last year I did my first marathon, and like that, I did it in full fire gear because I'm a fireman in Cork City.
Okay.
And I did it as a Guinness World Record, raising money for the guide dogs also that time. And I suppose it was my first marathon. I'd nothing to lose. I was trying to prove something personally that I could do it, and I trained hard towards it. And the feedback and the support I got from people was just unbelievable. And I suppose, to be honest, when I finished that, it wasn't long before I was kind of thinking, God, I'd like to do something again and push boundaries on a personal level and see what I can do.
Now, how would the record be gauged, or who monitors it, or how do you get approval for it?
Okay, there's different ways. The easiest way is to invite Guinness World Records over and have an official come over to officiate. But that costs an awful lot of money.
Of course,
and
when
you're raising money for charity, you know, I can't get my head around paying that amount of money when it could go to charity. So the other way then is you compile an awful lot of evidence. So I'm very fortunate in the sense that I have precision timing. They'd host an awful lot of running races, the length of the country and over in England. They have the technology to time all these events and the logistics. So they're actually the CEO, David Wade, is one of my crew members, and he's going to provide all that technology. So he's going to literally put a chip on me that will show where I am morning, noon and night.
Brilliant. It's a much more practical way, as you say, particularly when you're attempting to raise money for charity.
Yeah, and I'll be looking for, you know, we'll pass people randomly in streets and going through villages, and some of the crew members might go up to them and say, look, would you mind signing a form to say you saw Alex running through whatever village at whatever time? And it all becomes a book of evidence that you compile.
So what is the key thing here for you in terms of the run itself? Obviously, it's to raise money for the charity you mentioned, but is it to beat the record or to achieve the challenge?
I suppose, to be honest, you know, I'm competitive and I'm looking to beat it. But I've also set myself a lot of mini goals. Like, I've never ran 100 miles in a day. I've never covered that distance. I've done one 100-kilometre event, which would be 62 miles. So, you know, to achieve 100 miles day one, you know, it'll be me ticking a box. To be able to get up on day two after, you know, possibly 4 hours sleep and move forward is ticking another box. So it's just breaking the whole
thing. I see what you're saying. That makes a lot of sense. Alex, look, just remind us again. Obviously, people will see. When do you start the run? Sorry.
I'm starting on the 6th, Sunday the 6th of September.
So people can support you on the way. And if they want to support the Guide Dogs charity, they can do it by texting WOOF or what was that?
Yeah, if they text WOOF, W-O-O-F, to 50300. Or they can follow me and leave a message or keep informed of any updates on Challenge Alex on Facebook.
All right, Alex, best of luck. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And I hope you achieve everything that you set out to do.
Thanks very much for your support.
And I'm joined in studio now by Rory Friel from In Their Thousands fame. Rory, good morning.
Hello, Greg.
How are you?
Grant, good.
Great to have you in.
Thanks very much.
You feel lonely without the rest of the guys, no?
Extremely lonely, you know, but it's, you know, we spend a lot of time in a van together as well. Like, so,
yeah. I had the pleasure of seeing you out at the Swell Festival.
Oh, you were there?
Yeah.
All right, great.
And it was fantastic.
It was a great festival. We really enjoyed it. It was actually, I think, one of the best gigs we ever played.
Really?
Yeah.
Very good.
Really good.
Because there's an investment in that from the artists, wasn't there? It was like, you know, I'm not trying to dish any gigs that you do before, but, you know, it was like almost musicians playing for musicians. There was that kind of a feel to it as well as the general public.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose when I say that that it was one of the best gigs we ever played, that has a lot to do with it, you know?
Mm.
Because it gives you a different thought process on why you're actually doing the thing in the first place, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though you might have played, you know, other venues, better, bigger venues or nice indoor venues or festivals and things, other festivals, that's what really comes across, that community spirit, you know, and everybody's in it together for the music. And the fact that you're across water to go to an island as well, I think is...
It's astonishing that there is. It's a 20-minute ferry ride,
yeah.
But there is. It's like a world away, isn't it?
Yeah, it's almost like a portal or something.
Yeah,
into a different world.
I was there last weekend. Such is my attraction to the place.
Right.
Raised on Songs and Stories. This is in Logues in Carrigar. Tell us a bit about that, because that's what really principally why we have you in.
Yeah. Well, my friend Christopher, old friend of mine, went to school together, took over the bar in late January. And we had been talking one night, and I sort of expressed interest in running a music session during the week with a difference, you know, and that I wanted to tap into the tradition of storytelling, and that's in Donegal and in Ireland especially, and I don't know if you ever heard of raking,
mm-hmm.
The fireside chats that would go on. I remember them when I was young, you know, and it's a very influential thing. And I think it's a, you know, with technological advancement and everything else, that kind of thing wanes. It's a very community-based thing that goes on there. You know, the whole idea of that was that the stories came out after people went to look after members of the community who may have been vulnerable, you know, by raking the ashes over the hot coals so that they would stay warm, so that the fire would easily be lit the next morning. And then, you know, this obviously had the crack in.
You can remember that. It's in living memory. I remember similar myself. I don't know why, but we're moving away from that.
Yeah, well, I suppose, you know, storytelling doesn't stop, though. Mm. I think that with social media and the way that we use the internet now, we're all still telling ourselves and everybody else around us stories, even with that. But, you know, and even, like on the frontiers of science, the you know, an astrophysicist discovering new things about the universe or... is just really telling the story of how do, what is that we got here and how we might be proceeding from here.
Yeah.
You know, so storytelling doesn't stop with technology, but the thing about it is that the coming together to share experiences does stop. And I think that that's very different whenever you're in the same room together or whether you're a computer's miles away. It's a very different thing because you get a more of a human emotion.
Of course you do. Yeah, that, I would agree 100% with that. So what is the format of the Raised on the Songs and Stories night then at Logues?
Well, it's on every Monday and I think we're going to run it every Monday throughout the year, so it won't stop, you know, it's not seasonal.
Brilliant.
And the format is really that... I arrive at the bar about 9:30 and try to... And
I love that part, okay.
we get some chairs around and we do it in the side room at Logues so that anybody, for example, who might be reciting a poem, you know, everybody goes to the pub for different things, you know, but on a Monday we think it works better in the side room because people have a little bit more... there's more of a captive audience. And we set up some chairs and we set up like a circle maybe around the performers. Audience members are also performers, as you know, and this because anybody is welcome if they want to. We've had impromptu poetry and somebody who might have got their imagination sparked by a line in one of the other people's songs, and they might tell a story about it. So the format is really we create a circle and with the audience and performers, and then. I might kick it off with a song and then I would invite somebody else to sing a song and then so on and so forth.
It sounds like it's a really sort of natural, relaxed sort of way. I put you on the spot maybe asking you for what the format is, but I get the impression what it is that just go into the side room and see what happens. If you want to take part, you possibly can. If you want to tell a story, you can. But it's just, it's organic.
It is in that way. And, you know, for the first few weeks, we're certainly still learning. We were learning and we certainly still are about what the best way is to do it. But I think that it's just to let it happen like that is the best because if you try to control it too much, then it turns into something else.
Yeah, it's a gig or something.
Yeah, it turns into something else. So it's about, the sharing of creative works or even just stories from your childhood. I mean, or even like, you know, they don't even need to be old stories. You know, they can be completely made up stories. They can be...
old stories were new stories at one stage. So, that's the way it works. You know, we can't constantly live in the past, create new stuff. Sure. Is it a shift in sort of for you though, you know, from being on the stage, big gigs with the guys around you. This is really stripped down, more traditional sort of a thing. I'm not going to ask you which you prefer, but it must be a nice change of gear for you.
Oh, it's certainly different. The two things are inherently linked though for me. It just depends if you've got a PA system and mics or not, because I'd be of the opinion that any creative work, whether it's a novel or a movie or a song or an album, they all come from the same place, or a painting. Mm. They come from the same place, and then it depends how they're expressed. So, you know, sitting around with your friends and, you know, sharing a story behind the song you've written, that's one big difference in that you get more of an opportunity to let people know where it is that it's coming from, you know. So that would be a big...
Fantastic. Now, you're going to sing us a song, aren't you?
Yeah, I suppose I'll give you a song, yeah, sure. This is a song that it came actually out of a story that somebody told me about being a substitute teacher here in Donegal. And they had overheard a conversation between two young people, around about, they said they were around about 15 years old, a girl and a boy, and they said that they had been, they couldn't help overhearing them, but they were talking about how their lives at home wasn't so good at the moment, and they were talking about running away, and this is what she overheard them saying. So she was telling me about this, and it sort of just sparked the imagination.
Before you go, it's kind of touches on what you were saying earlier on. These are the new stories, really.
Absolutely, going forward. Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that every Monday so far, I would say most of the material has been new.
Mm.
Most of it has been new, but it just connects.
Yes,
you connected with the older stuff then. So it's certainly not focused on the past.
Yeah.
We've had so many great songwriters down there from Tommy Callahan and John McNutt is coming this Monday. Jonathan Smeaton is coming this Monday. John Muldowney has been down. Gabriel Pascal Blake, Rosie Kearney. We've had Joe Brennan from the Melton Storytelling Festival. Tom Russell, who's there most Mondays. I don't know. There's so many to mention.
And we had Gabriel Pascal in there last week, I think, and he's a perfect example of someone who's writing about what they're experiencing at the moment.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah. Okay, sorry, I stopped you when you were just warming up there, Rory. Okay, take it away. Rory Friel.
I'm tired. It's been so long since I felt at peace. I know a place where we can go. I'll bring my words. I'll bring a hat and a coat. And I'll drag my boulder of memories along until its edges soften and it rolls behind me. And you can come with me, but we must go now. Darling, the only reason that I'm asking is that I've seen how dreams can die. If I come over, would you trust me with your boulder? And I'd help you drag the whole thing along until some feeling comes back and it gets lighter. Yes, you can come with me, but we must go now. I have spent too many days here under all this pressure. That one there, that's from a misused pot of boiling water. And I swear I could kill someone when I see you trying to cover up your fresh bruises with your uniform. And that's why I'm tired. And we're too young just to retire, to retreat and to accept. I've got some money now. You bring a hat and a coat. We'll drag our boulder of memories along until its edges soften and it rolls behind us. You can come with me, but we must go now.
That's real life for many people. It's a lovely piece, that. Monday night then from 9:30. I hope to get to see us at some stage. But this Monday night, great guests lined up for this Monday night.
With some great guests been there over the last few weeks. I mean, it's amazing to see how people want to jump into that situation. Mm. You know, I suppose it's a little bit of a different gig. You know, when there's no PA system there and all. John McNutt's coming this Monday, and he's just about to release his third album. A fantastic singer songwriter from Downings, And we also have Jonathan Smeaton, who I've here played on Highland often.
Yeah.
And the generator that is John Muldowney as well is coming on Monday for a second appearance, actually. He was there at one of the very first ones. So that's the three guests we have lined up. And
who knows who else will turn up? That's the thing, isn't it? Yeah,
this is it.
I feel that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Wendy says, we had the pleasure of songs in stories some Monday nights during the summer. What great entertainment, young and old, poetry and stories and song. Well done, all. That's it. Listen, Rory, thanks so much for coming in. Sounds fantastic. Pleasure. And I think it's doing, I don't know, there seems to be some, not like a, almost a group therapy to it as well. Is there? I don't want to overstate it, but you know what I mean? It sounds like a really nice thing that lots of people might go along and get stuff off the chest. Who's to say?
Oh, yeah, come along. If it's therapy you want, we'll
you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. Sounds like it, all right. Listen, Rory Friel from In the Thousands, of course, but we're talking in the context of Raised on Songs and Stories. It's in Logues in Carrickgott. It's going well for your mates, is it?
It's going great, and Logues is absolutely flying. They're making some of the best pizzas I've ever put near me face.
Well, so I think your friend charged you before, you probably not charge you now after this advert, so fair play to you. Thanks so much for coming in, Rory. You're very welcome back to the programme, 11 minutes to 11. Ryan Stewart, a very good morning to you, Ryan.
Good morning, Greg.
Nice to chat to you again. How are you?
Oh, very good, very good. Very
now,
excited.
Say that again, sorry, Ryan.
Very excited.
Yes, you're excited for Slide On, which is taking place next week. Tell us about it.
It is. We got it last year and we raised over £100,000 for cancer research by basically turning Shipkey Street in Derry into a huge water slide. So participants were going and fundraising, getting sponsored to do the slide, and it was a great success and we're bringing it back again this year.
What a success it was last year. That's a massive amount of money for a fantastic charity. The logistics behind setting it up, I've seen pictures of it and I've seen videos on social media. It's a really big undertaking, isn't it?
It's a huge effort. We had a lot of great volunteers who helped us out last year, and they're all coming back to give us a hand this year again. We're only doing it one day this time, so it won't be as backbreaking as it was last year. But it's a huge setup. The slide itself is 150 metres long. It's in a couple of different pieces, and when you're dealing with Shipkey Street, it's a very steep street to be running up and down all day.
And how does it work? How do people get involved, or how do they get a go on this slide?
What we're asking people to do is to try and basically sign up, first of all, to say that you're going to do the slide. You can do that at www.cruk.org/slideonderry. So when you register, you get a sponsorship out in your email, or you can register here today in the Richmond Centre. And we ask people to, what's a target of £50 for sponsorship? If you can beat it, great. If you don't make a full 50, don't worry, you're still going to slide. So basically, if you want to register, you can do so online, or we're in the Richmond Centre until 4 o'clock today. And there's a great buzz up here today. It's really the last chance for people to come in and register in the Richmond Centre. Also this year, last year it was over 16s for insurance purposes, but that was down to risks and that. And we've really shown that it's a very safe slide. We didn't have any incidents at all, no injuries or anything last year, so we've been able to open it up now to over 12. The only thing about it, if you're over 12, you do have to come to Richmond Centre to register.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So I would say there was a ton of 12 to 16-year-olds looking at it going, can I not get on this thing last year? So it's great that they can get involved now.
It's really taken off again this year. The average age, I think, last year was over 35. So, you know, it shows you, you know, there's plenty of people still young at heart. Mm-hmm. And last year we had a guy, 89 years old, who went down, and he was here last week to register again.
He's 90 now.
He's 90 now, and he's back again there to register again. Dan Campbell, the famous, and he absolutely had a ball on it.
I'd say it requires a lot of support from, you know, local residents, businesses as well, to give up their street for the day.
Yeah, I mean, it's a mammoth task, you know what I mean? But, I mean, they couldn't be better with us, you know, even from the police and the fire service to the council to the Richmond Centre, who are basically giving us the use of the unit for the day and allowing it to come in here, and the City Centre Initiative, they've communicated with all the traders. Again, I mean, it brings an awful lot of people into the city as well. You also, on the same day, the Wall City Market's on in Guildhall Square, so, you know, the traders down there will have a bumper day as well.
Exactly, and it's for cancer research, and tragically, we've all been touched, I think, by someone we know, love, and someone in a family or friend that's had cancer. So it's one of those charities that, you know, resonates with all of us, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, the name of the charity is Cancer Research UK, but they actually pile a lot of money into Northern Ireland.
Of course they do, yeah. And it's research. Look, if they make breakthroughs, it's not specifically for the UK, it's for everybody.
Exactly. If you're in China, you're getting the benefit of
exactly.
it, you know.
Yeah.
But even with in Elton McGelvin Hospital, there are clinical trials that are operating from Elton McGelvin Hospital. And when the new radiotherapy opens, radiotherapy unit opens there, people from Donegal will actually get the benefit of these as well. You know, so it's a huge undertaking. It's a great cause, and it benefits everybody, you know, across the Northwest.
We're really
looking for people to come in.
Sorry, Rory, it's on the 5th of September. Just a few texts in asking, can you turn up on the day or this registration versus turning up on the day? What's the, just clarify that situation for us, Ryan.
Just to guarantee your spot, you really should register.
Okay.
It costs £10 to register. So if you're obviously paying by card or whatever online, it'll debit in euros or whatever if you're signing up from Donegal. Just to make sure you're getting the spot, I would really urge people to register. It's possible. We did have a few sort of spaces last time where people got a wee bit worried or scared.
But that was over 2 days, wasn't it? You know, so
that was over 2 days. Yeah, this is a 1 day event. So if you really want to do it, please sign up.
Okay, give us the. Not everyone's going to get into Derry today. So what's the website they can do it online? Did you say, Ryan?
It's www.cruk.org/slideonderry.
Pretty simple. Thank you so much for that. Best of luck on the day. It's over 1 day. Do you think you can match last year's target?
We'd love to think so, but in 1 day it's a huge undertaking.
Yeah, but every
quid. We're going to beat last year, but every penny counts, as you say.
Well, every quid hopefully goes towards, eventually we need to beat this cancer thing, so hopefully there's loads of quids earned. Ryan, thanks so much for coming on the programme.
Thanks so much for your time, Greg.
Best of luck. Bye.